I was trying to sing when the roll is called up yonder. I don't know if y'all caught that or not. doesn't matter. It's going to be in heaven anyway, right?
Any prayer requests this morning before we pray?
I have a friend and her grandson. His name is Asher Mead. He just turned 1 year old, and he's actually in ICU on a ventilator, and the doctors can't figure out what's going on. They're trying to go to the air to transfer him to Vanderbilt Hospital to order testing to see if they can figure it out. So not only them, but their family, they need prayers.
Remember that. Someone else this morning? Search committee unspoken. There are several unspoken this morning. Continue to remember Jim and Kim Carpenter during this time, lost the family. Keep them in your prayers. Remember the men. Remember that we can just be bold men. We can be unapologetic Christians and men. Today, unfortunately, we're too quick, to myself included, I'm too quick to apologize sometimes or kind of feel out the crowd before I start. You know, we should be bold Christians.
Amen.
Of course.
I was talking about Brother Bud and Helen Faye.
Yes. Remember them. Remember them. Someone else? Not being released in our offer of prayer, please.
Oh, Heavenly Father, bless this offering. Bless the members of our church. Bless the leadership of this church. Pray for all our members. Amen.
Amen.
Cause. So you mentioned just a couple of things.
Yes, right here.
It's meeting at 5:30.
We would like anybody to come. I know there are some people that are not going to be able to help us on Saturday, but there are still ways that you can help. We need some people. You saw that package that I put together. With your donations, I've been able to buy enough school supplies to do 100 of those. We'll be able to do over 100 with what's been donated. So we're thankful for that, but we need some help putting those things together. So I want to set a time for that that'll work for most people. So if you can come and meet with us, we'll set that time, as well as letting everybody that signed up to work let you know where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing, and we'll figure out how that's all going to look this afternoon. So if you can come and meet with us, even if you're not planning on helping us on Saturday, if you can help us during the week as we're getting things ready, we'd like to meet with you as well.
Thank you, John.
What time is that for me?
5:30 today. Also, another announcement, there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board for Casting Crowns and Matt Meyer. I don't know if that's how you say his name, Matt Meyer. In East Tennessee, he'd probably say Mayor. But Matt Meyer, he's going to be there. $20 a piece, so if you're interested in that. That is a school night on Tuesday night, November 15th. So there's a sign-up sheet back there. Tickets are $20. So if you'd like to go spend an evening of worship, then please sign up for that. Also, this Wednesday, be sure and turn in your forms for the nominating committee. They are due, so please do turn them in to the church office. Got two more meetings scheduled. This Wednesday, July 27th, will be the Children's Director Review, and then the IT review on August the 3rd. So if you've got some feedback there, I know Dale White and the Personnel Committee would appreciate that. Also, this Wednesday, Bible study, and then we've got Truth Quest. John will be having that for grades 1 through 6. Deacons meeting August 2nd, and then Saturday, August the 6th, is their care day. So if you need something done there, be sure to sign up for that. Will us stand? Page 550 in your handbook. We're going to sing that first verse as Brother Gary gets ready to come. He's our new interim pastor. If you've not been here in a week, please welcome him. His wife's there. I hope this is your prayer this week.
Making an appointment. If you want us to call ahead, be sure to put your telephone number
And by that, we'll know that you want us to call before getting there, because you may be putting ketchup on your pancakes. We don't want you to see that. I tell you what, I'm going to try that. I'm not a fan of pancakes, and I don't like something real sweet. I may try ketchup on my do that, and we'd love to come and visit with you. Thank you for those of you that are visiting for the very first time. We welcome you. This is your second or third time back to Boone's Creek. We'll never count you a visitor again. We want you just to come and join in and be a part of what God's doing at Boone's Creek Baptist Church. As we gather, it's refreshing to be able to brag on Sunday school. I love a man who practices what he preaches. The lesson this morning, if you were in Sunday school, was about not being a bar and not becoming a slave with credit cards. And so our Sunday school teacher went on this men's trip, and he felt it better to steal a book than to put it on the plastic cart. Now that's putting feet on your prayers, amen. But his conscience has got to bother him. He said he's going to Lifeway tomorrow and pay for his book. I'm just aggravating, friend. He was in such a hurry to get the author's signature, he ran and got the book, got in line, got it signed, and left. I've been there. A good friend of mine, a preacher down in Greene County, they opened the New English store down at Greenville, and he always had chewing gum for the boys and girls. Every Sunday he'd have gum for the kids. And he got down there, and they had a 55-gallon plastic drum in the middle of the floor, stacked up, running over, with gum. And the sign said, "Sugar-free gum, 65 cents a pack." All he saw was free gum. And he loaded his pockets up, put his suit pockets full, put his pants, trouser pockets full, and went out and was waiting on his dear wife. And she came out, and he said, "Beau, did you get any of the free gum?" And she said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Didn't you see that barrel? Free gum?" She said, "Land sakes, honey, that said sugar-free gum, 65 cents a pound." And he said, "Well, you'll have to take this back in." She said, "I didn't steal it. I'm not taking it back in." So he went home. All week his conscience bothered him. So finally he went down to Ingles and went in. And he said, "I need to speak to the manager." They went and got the manager, brought him up, and he said, "Sir, I'm here to turn myself in." He said, "For what?" He said, "I'm a shoplifter." He said, "You're a what?" He said, "I seen that sign, and I was so excited. It said free gum. I loaded up all my pockets, walked out of here." He had how many packs he had stolen. I came back and paid for it. My wife told me it wasn't free, it was sugar free. And I'm here to turn myself in. And the manager put his arm around him, and he said, "Sir," he told him he's a pastor, he passes out to the kids. He said, "That soul is worth far more than the gun. You pass it out to those children, and we just add God's blessing to it. You don't owe us a dime." And so it's good to go back and cover home base. My, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. And we're going to ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians this morning. And keep your Bible out. We do a lot of study sermon. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read six verses in just a moment. Prior to that, we're going to ask you again to remember, if you're able. I know that there's folks who have had or are waiting to have hip or knee surgery, or you have diabetes and can't stand that long, or heart problems or whatever. But only if you're able. It's just a sign of reverence to the reading of God's Word. This book that we read from is the most holy piece of literature in all the world. It's breathed and inspired. God Himself moved upon the hearts of men to write these words, and has hovered over them and protected them so that we could read them this morning. I visited a home not too many years ago, and a lady, I usually like to read when I go to a home, I like to read out of their Bible so that they can see what their Bible says. And I asked her, I said, if you've got a Bible we can read out before we leave and have prayer with you. She said, oh yes, preacher, said, I want to show you something. Come with me. She took me into the dining room, was right off the living room, and we walked into the dining room, and she pulled out a drawer on a side table, and she reached in and got a large bundle out, and it was a couple of bath towels. She set it down on the table, and she folded them this way, that way, this way, that way. And then inside that bundle of towels was a box, and she got the box out. And she opened up her box, and there was a brand new copy of Scripture. It didn't look like the page had been turned. And she said, look at that, preacher. I want you to read out of it. That Bible that you hold in your hand is as old as some of my children. Isn't it well kept? I said, madam, he didn't call us to protect the word. He called us to proclaim the word. Get it out of the box. Wear it out. I'll buy you another copy. Amen?
Amen.
We're not to preserve and protect the word, we're to proclaim the word.
Amen.
And so we do our best, and we want you to hold us close, tightly, to the proclaiming of God's word. Would you stand, if you're able, verse 3, chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand. He said, now I preach the gospel. The word gospel means good news. I have preached the good news to you. And he said, you've received it, and thereby are standing in it. Verse 2, by which also you're saved by this good news. If you keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, But some are falling asleep. Let's pray. Master, thank you for the good news. I pray in Jesus' name that it'll find a anchoring place, a mooring place in our heart. Lord, that we can always come back to the heart of the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
We're talking to you this morning about the greatest doctrine of the Christian faith. You see, this week is my birthday. Now, everybody here has at least one birthday. Amen? Now, some of you that know me best are kind of scratching your head and you're thinking, oh, wait a minute. You were near a Christmas baby. Matter of fact, my mother took great pleasure as I got older and she would visit my church. She would look at me and she had kind of the sense. My dad didn't have much of a sense of humor. My mother had a great sense of humor. She would get me in front of a crowd and she would look at me and say, right there stands the worst Christmas I ever had. Sort of like a friend of mine here from Gray. Any of you know Dale Ford, the umpire? Dale wanted me to go out and have prayer with his mom. Dale was the middle child out of 13 children. I went out to see Mrs. Ford and she was lying in the bed face. But then I had prayer with her, talked with her a few minutes. She said, who did you say you were? I said, Gary Edwards. I'm pastor at New Salem Baptist Church down in Limestone. Who'd you say brought you out here? I said, Dale. Dale brought me out here, your son Dale. This is what she told me. She said, that's the meanest youngin' I raised. Now, when a mother on her dying bed, she's going to tell the truth. And I said, really, Miss Ford? She said, yeah, he was my middle. Six older, six younger. Kept the older six cussing and the six younger ones crying. I still kid Dale, doesn't it? He's the meanest kid she raised. Well, my mother got a lot of mileage out of that I was the worst Christmas that she ever had because I was born the first time on December 27th, 2 days after Christmas. So I imagine it was a pretty hard Christmas for her, being swollen, expecting a 10-pound boy. I'd say it was a pretty difficult Christmas. But my first birth is really uneventful. Not a whole lot to talk about. Matter of fact, I can't remember a lot of that. What I have has been told me, so it's hearsay, not worth repeating. Now, my second birth is very important to me. For you see, the first time I was born, I had no choice about where I was going or where I was going to end up. But my second birth began on a cold January evening at Sinking Creek Baptist Church I hadn't been to church in, since I was 15. I swore that I wasn't going to go back, 15, 16 years old. I said, I'll never go back. I've been let down, discouraged, and bewildered by God and His church. People get that way. And for 5, 6, 7 years, I didn't go inside the church. And my dear wife, we had been married for a year, and I was headed off to Vietnam. And she begged me all the way from Pensacola, Florida, to Johnson City, Tennessee, to go to church, one service with her, before I departed to Vietnam. I went with her on a Sunday evening. I was raised in a pastor's home. I knew there wasn't much happened on Sunday night. Usually the big things usually took place on Sunday morning, biggest crowd, biggest moving. And so I stayed away from Sunday morning, went Sunday night. And when I arrived, the preacher talked about some stuff. You see, my daddy could read Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in, sup with him, and he with me, and preach his sermon. The next week he could read Genesis 3:12, close the book, and preach the same sermon. It was pretty much a repetitious thing. It was the same sermon. Long hair, short hair, long skirt, short skirt, you know the drill. He was a good man, but the sermon text was a little bit lacking. Reese Harris was the pastor there at Sinking Creek, and that night, I really thought that Sarah and he had got together and prepared this sermon. I really did. I'm serious. I'm not joking now. I'm serious. Because the sermon was my size, my color. It was a perfect fit for me, John. And I thought, there's no way this man's that smart. He and my wife have got together and prepared this sermon together. Now, I knew John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To my knowledge, now I'm sure I had sat there, well, very little setting for me. I remember the worst. I seen my mother cry after vacation Bible school night. With Dr. Webb, myself, and John Cone crawled out through a furnace duct out the side of the window to get out of Bible school. Three meanest kids in the class left. She was in tears when we got home. Trust me, I didn't sit much anywhere. I'm sure I had heard John 3:17 and 18. But I didn't remember. And the pastor said these words. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, Jesus, might be saved. For he that hath believed is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
And he reared back. I told you this Sunday, no thumb on his right hand. When he points at you, you're pointing. It looks like his index finger is a yard long. And he would start over here on Sunday night, sparse crowd anyway. And my wife and I, and a boy I played ball with in high school, played baseball with, He and I were sitting together with married sisters, and so we were sitting together back there, and he would come around, and he'd start over here, and he'd come right around, and I really thought, for the first few statements, that he was aiming at Tom, my brother-in-law. He said this, a lot of good people never smoked, never drank, and never acted ugly in our community are going to die and go to hell. And stop right on. And I first thought, well, he's getting Tom. It's Tom, exactly. And it wasn't long until I seen that his gun was loaded for me. Because you see, Tom was a better guy than I was. He hadn't partaken in all those things. And I got angry. I thought, Sarah has ratted me out. She has gone to him and told him all about me. And every time. And I came to a conclusion in a Baptist church. And that's all right. We ought to come to some good conclusions. Amen. I thought it was a conclusion then, but I learned later it's conviction. But I came to a conclusion. Hey, if that crowd, this is what he said, a lot of good people that's never smoked, never drank, and never acted ugly in the community are going to die and go to hell. I thought to myself, I don't stand a chance of getting in. And you see, the way I had always justified myself, I'd never been justified by the Master. I'd always justified myself. I'd always picked out someone in the church and said, I know I'm as good as they are. And for all practical precept, I was. But the problem was I had never been justified by the Master. And so it began there when he preached that a lot of good people, I knew I wasn't good people, I knew I had problems, but I'd always justified myself with somebody in the church as about as bad as I was. And so when the invitation came again, I kind of shrugged it off my shoulders. Matter of fact, I backed up in the pew when they gave the invitation. Man, there was something strong going on back in pew 12. I backed up. I thought, God wants Tom, my brother-in-law, to get out of here and go. I wonder what he's waiting on. I backed up real tight against the pew, gave him plenty of room. Showed Sarah she needed to back up. Well, let me tell you something about our God. He's personal.
Amen.
He can take a streak of lightning in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and drive a 10-penny nail flush in a tuba for floating in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
That's true.
He's a good shot. So when he comes knocking at one's heart's door, he's got the right door.
Amen.
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 He's not looking for your neighbor. He's looking for you.
Amen.
So he came knocking. I thought he was really hunting Tom, so I gave him plenty of room. Left there, headed off to Vietnam. And the first fella I met on an aircraft carrier had a Scofield Bible in bed with him reading. Now, you know that a sailor ain't just exactly level. If he's laying in bed reading the Bible. And he announced to me, the Lord sent you down here to be my bunkie. I said, you, no, I ain't going to tell you what I said. But I proceeded to tell him he was out of his mind. You have no idea how I ended up here, mister. Don't go to interpreting to me something about God. July the 29th, 1967, just a few days away now, I had a personal, life-changing experience with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I was born again.
Amen.
By the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's my second birthday. I really would rather celebrate my second birthday as my first one.
Amen.
For two reasons. First of all, it's spiritual. And second of all, I have a pretty good birthday when I don't have to share it with Jesus. The one in December, he gets all the fanfare. Amen. I've got a young man up in Duffield, Virginia. I was his pastor for 6 years, been gone for about 7 years now. And he was just a little boy. And I kept him some in my home when his mother and dad had to do things. I kept him in my home. Do you know, since that boy was 10, 11 years old, last year he was in boot camp. Fort Benning, Georgia, July 27. Trust me, it's hot.
Amen.
In Fort Benning.
Yeah.
Boot camp is about all you can survive. Amen. Mm-hmm. About 6 o'clock of the afternoon last year, my cell phone rang. Jeremy said, "Preacher, this is Jeremy." I said, "Jeremy, I recognize your voice the minute you spoke." "Well, I don't have any time. I'm double timing from the chow hall back to the barracks. I don't have much time. I just wanted to call and wish you happy birthday." Wow. You had to scrape me off the ceiling with a putty knife. Listen, folks. The difference that I want you to understand. You see, matter of fact, I ran into a mutual friend. We were baptized together. Matter of factly, we were baptized together at Oak Street Baptist Church where I just left as interim pastor. I made a profession of faith. No, excuse me. I went up during Bible school evangelistic services, Sinking Creek Baptist Church. I mean, they sent me to every Bible school that they knew anything about. And so they sent me off to Sinking Creek. And I went up. Brother C.B. Dickinson was the pastor, and I went up. And a well-meaning guy came by, and he said, "You're Cal Edwards' boy, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." "Do you want to be baptized and join the church?" "If that's what I need, put me down." Went back to my home church, that Mountain Baptist Church. Told my parents, they sent a little card home with me, and they told me to come up the next service, and I did, and my dad took a whole group of us down to Oak Street Baptist Church, borrowed their baptistry. I was glad to see when I got there, they returned it. It was still there. And Barry the Baptist. And I was baptized there. But you see, there was a difference. When I was born again, I understood that Jesus Christ had come from glory, lived a perfect, sinless life, and that he had went to the cross, not for what he had done, but he went because of what I had done, and he pushed me out of the way and took my place on Calvary and died for my sins.
Amen.
Suffered the first 3 hours at the hands of men and the last 3 hours at the hands of the Father when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He suffered 6 hours at the cross and declared in his last words from the cross, it's finished. And what he was declaring is, God is now satisfied with payment in full.
Amen.
For your sins.
Amen.
And that Jesus resurrected the third day and stayed around for 40 more days and ascended back and left an open door, the throne room of God open that no man can close, and is waiting to make intercession for you and I.
Amen.
And I knew that I was communing with the living God.
Amen.
July 29, 1967, Fred, I knew that he heard what I was saying. I'd never done business with him. And I asked him to forgive me. Come into my heart. The greatest doctrine in the Bible is that we serve a risen Lord. He's alive.
Yeah.
He resurrected from the dead. That is the gospel. That is the good news. That he's ready. Those poor folks that prayed to Buddha and Confucius and Mohammed, their prayers fall on deaf ears. But mine falls on the ears of a living Savior.
Amen.
Willing to forgive. Willing to save. So the greatest day of my life was July 29, 1967. I've got a whole bunch, that's just the introduction to this sermon. I've got a whole lot more about it, but let me tell you something. If you're here this morning and you're put out with religion, I was also. But let me tell you something. There's a whole world of difference between serving the living Christ and serving religion.
Amen.
Religion is dead and musty and mildewed. I knew something about, I just met Tim. But I can tell you something. Those speakers down there are just mere men. You know what it said to me? Fred was all fired up back in the Sunday school class, came out here, Tim's all fired up. You know what it tells me? The Spirit of the living God met with those fellows, moved on their heart, and they can't hardly contain themselves. See, somebody in grief can't motivate you.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
I ain't motivated a bit about a cemetery. I'm going to one soon. Don't motivate me much. But all the living God that can reach down, speak to our heart in the midst of a service and say to us, I don't want you to get religion. I want you and I to have a personal living relationship.
Amen.
I want to be your God. I want to be your Savior. I want to be your Lord. I want to be your Master. So the question is, did you get religion? Or did you really have a life-changing experience with Christ? that's a tough question. I'm not preaching that. I'm preaching assurance that you know. I talk to people every day. I talked to a young man yesterday, day before yesterday, in Mount Carmel. I said, "Are you saved?" He said, "I hope I am." I heard over the first John. I said, "Listen to what he said. I've written you these words that you might know that you've been passed from death unto life." I'm alive because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Amen.
Amen.
I know that I'm just as, listen, I'm just as saved this morning as if I'd have been in heaven 1,000 years. Are you sure, preacher? You're not perfect. Why? I'm not going because I'm perfect. And if you're going because you're perfect, you're just like me, you're in trouble. You're not perfect. Well, how do you know? Because he don't lie. He's never lied.
That's right.
The devil is the father of all lies.
Amen.
And he never lies. And he said, "I give unto you eternal, everlasting life."
Yes.
Man.
He cannot lie. Now, I grant you, some days I don't feel saved. I'm not saved by my feelings. I'm saved by my faith.
Amen.
I've got the same faith in him today that I had yesterday and the day before and the day before. He's my Savior. The good news is he did for me what I could not do for myself.
Yes. Amen.
He saved. He's empowered. I mean, he walks with me, talks with me all along my life. So if you're not sure this morning, this would be the time to make it sure. If you've been saved, and there was ever, listen to me quickly, if there was ever a day you were happier about being saved than you are today, it's time you move. He didn't move, you move.
Amen.
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 Yes. It's time to make a little trip of rededication, more submission, more commitment to him. And if you haven't taken a step through this watery grave of baptism, you haven't even taken the first step. You haven't even taken the first step of submission. I'm afraid of water. Well, don't sit next to me because you ain't got a bath. Amen?
Amen.
You ain't as afraid of water as you think you are. What do you drink? Well, don't answer that. Listen, if you haven't followed him and believe it, that's just, he'll give you the strength and the power to get through a scary situation.
Amen.
Trust him. That's all he's asking. Just trust him.
Amen.
Amen. Answer back. Are you following the resurrected, living Son of God? Or are you just dealing with cold, mildewed religion? There is a difference. Come, let's talk about it here in the invitation. Master, right now as the fire director readies an invitation hymn, I pray, Master, the heart that you've spoken to, I don't know who they are. I don't know the heart you've spoken to, but you do, and so I'm praying for those hearts to be submissive and willing to do it your way this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Would you stand? We're going to sing. Welcome. Who wants to be first? Come on.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior. And you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need You. And You died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust You, I do trust You, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on the website, WindsCreekBaptist.org. And don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.